The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With 40 million books sold globally in 120 different countries and a hit series on Disney Plus, Karen Slaughter is one of the most successful crime fiction writers in the world. She's just returned with a new book, which is called We Are All Guilty Here, and she joins us now on the line. Karen, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Happy to talk to you.
Now, let's talk about the plot of this book. And I never like to give too much away, but we start off looking at the lives, really, of two teenage girls who think they know everything.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a problem with teenagers, isn't it? They do think they know everything. Unfortunately for these girls, they don't quite know as much as they thought. And they find themselves in the very first chapter of one of my novels. So that tells you that they're not going to have a good time of things.
Now, we don't want to tell exactly what happened to them, but they do run into trouble. It's on the 4th of July. There are fireworks, as there is in every town right across the land, and they are going to attend.
Yes. Well, they say they're going to attend just so long as their parents are concerned, but they have plans to sneak off and to get into some trouble. What they don't realize is how much trouble they're going to find themselves in.
Now, the characterization of the town, a small town, dominated in its history by one particular family, and that leads us to our principal character, I suppose. But the town of North Falls, I mean, it's very typically small town America, filled with, by and large, good people.
Well, yeah, you know, but it is a crime novel, so there are some bad ones in there. But I wanted to return to my roots a bit because I started writing about a very small town in South Georgia called Grant County. But what I realized as I wrote more books in that series is that I was running out of places and people to kill. So with North Falls and Clifton County, I created a larger medium-sized city in America where there were more opportunities to talk about the have and have nots. You know, there's an automobile parts factory that has a lot of changeover in their workforce. There's a technical school, and there's the small town of North Falls where the people who run things live.
And the town, as I said, there was one family, really, which started the town and ruled the town and to some extent influences everything in the town still.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a tendency in America, though we don't have royalty, we do like our dynasties. And, you know, you see that with a lot of political families. But many small towns, you do have the same people in charge generation after generation. I think that's something that maybe my Irish readers can relate to, because like America, Ireland is a bunch of small towns in its own way. And so I thought, let's put this familiar setting where we have this romanticized version of one family always running this town. And, you know, we want to think they have only the best at heart. But what we see is after several generations, there's corruption. And maybe it's not such a great idea for the same people to be running everything for so long.
And yet on the good side, the law enforcement is also not quite confined to one family, but certainly dominated by one family.
Yeah, that's where you have Emmy Clifton and her father, Gerald. And we meet her at a point in her life where, you know, she's professionally, she's sort of settled because she's working for her father in the local police force. And, you know, she has this job where she has a badge and carries a gun. But her home life is kind of a mess. Her husband is not the greatest guy. She's struggling to raise her kid. She's got a difficult relationship with her mother. She works for her father. So there's a lot going on in her life. And in the middle of this, we have these two girls who have this bad thing happen to them. And she has a personal connection to one of the girls. She's best friends with the girl's stepmother. So that just sends her life reeling.
Yeah. Now, one of the only issues that I would have had is this woman, she's so inspiring to me. You know, she's very honest. You know, she self-doubts from time to time. But she managed to marry this no good, you know, and I was wondering, how was she conned by him?
Well, they met when they were in high school, and she wasn't the woman she is now. It's really interesting because a lot of times I do know some of my female friends have been in relationships with some really bad guys. Not all of them, you know, bad in the way of an abusive person or whatever, but just sort of worthless. And it takes a little while for them to realize maybe this is not the right person for me. Maybe I can find someone who could pull his own weight, at least, which Emmy's husband certainly does not pull his own weight. He's barely employed. And, you know, it just takes a while to grow out of that and realize for a lot of women, well, I can find someone better. I can do better. I don't have to live like this.
Now, you talk about the way small towns and even slightly larger towns might be run, and there might be a dynastic effect. But in terms of politics, I mean, in your books, it's politics with a small p. It's not party politics. And you're conscious, I read in one interview, that you're conscious that you do have, you know, conservative readers who, you know, want the bad guy to get caught and the good guy to win.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think most of my readers want that, particularly women, because it reflects something we don't necessarily see in everyday society, where people who commit acts of violence, particularly against women, but of course, violence and sexual violence happens against men as well, but perpetrators are not often punished. And so in a crime novel, you know, you just have this warm knowledge that at the end, the bad guys will be punished, the good people will go to fight another day, and everything will be good, at least until the next book starts.
And yet, I mean, along the way, without, and I don't want to go near any spoilers at all, I mean, there are, you know, shocks, shall we say, along the way.
Yes. Mistakes are made. Yeah, I think is how we could frame it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. You know, when I first wrote about Jeffrey Tolliver in my first novel, Blindsided, he was the chief of police in town. He was infallible. And you were always assured that he would not make mistakes. And this time around, you know, particularly where we are in the world, where we realize that the cops are not always right. That they are as fallible as we human beings are. They are mortal as well. Sometimes mistakes get made. And I think just as a human being, the way you handle mistakes tells you who you are. And that's a theme throughout the book. It's something that Gerald, Emmy's father, says, mistakes show you who you are. And how you deal with them is how you build character or you choose not to.
And he is a rock in the early part of the book upon whom Emmy absolutely depends. No more than that can we say at this point. Now, the other activity in your life is, of course, the Will Trent series on, what's it, on Disney Plus.
Yes.
I've watched the third series, and I'm hoping there will be series four.
Yes, there will be. They're about to go back and start the new season in August. The writers are already working on the scripts. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's different in tone from the books. It's not as dark, but I love the characters. Ramon Rodriguez is amazing as Will. And the idea of Will from the books is still living large in Ramon. He really has captured the spirit of the character.
Now, I was wondering about that because, again, you are aware that everyone in their own head had a vision of a Will Trent, and
yes,
how proximate Ramon's characterization is to most people's imaginings.
Well, you know, in the books, Will is described as 6'3" and sandy blonde hair and probably more Scandinavian. And
indeed,
Ramon is from a beautiful part of America called Puerto Rico. And he has dark hair. And but I will say he is probably one of the sexiest men walking the face of the earth right now. So people can relate to that. And, you know, he's just an amazing actor. And I know that for a lot of readers, they're saying, oh, that's not the Will I imagine. But you don't want someone who looks the part but doesn't know the character. And Ramon has put in the work, and he's really great as far as capturing the essence of Will Trent.
And yet, in the series, which could not ever possibly be in the books because of his own background, I mean, you go into the Will Trent's background in Puerto Rico as part of the narrative. Was it in series one or series two? Anyway, I remember it well.
He learns a bit about that in one, and then two, he picks up on it and meets some of his actual family. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about television. You know, this is an adaptation of the work. It's more like an interpretation, I would say, than a straight one-to-one adaptation. And you want to lean into who the characters are, how they identify, how they move through the world. And that part of Ramon's life that they captured just enhanced the character even more for me.
And then, of course, we have the characters that we continue to refer to later on in the book series of Faith and Angie Pulaski. And they also have to have, I suppose, their lives slightly altered from the books in order to fit in with the television adaptation.
Absolutely. You know, and Iantha Richardson, who plays Faith, is an African-American woman, and Faith describes herself as the color of Elmer's glue in the novel. So, you know, the fact of a woman who is Black being a police officer, that the way she goes through that world and handles that relationship with her mother, who's also a police officer, her boss, who's also a Black woman. And, you know, it's really enhanced her character in a way that I could never write about in the books, because my Faith is different and comes from a different background.
And I'm wondering when they proposed that to you. I mean, you are certainly on the current series executive producer. I mean, how do you react when they say, listen, this is how we envisage things? Is it because perhaps Black officers might be more typical of the Georgia police these days, the Atlanta Police Force or the GBI?
Well, Atlanta is definitely it's what we call a majority-minority city. I mean, it's 70%, 65-70% African-American. It has been since the 1970s. Our politicians have all been from that community. So it's a way to talk about that part of Atlanta in a way that I haven't really tapped into in the books, because it's not my personal experience. But yeah, Atlanta is such a vibrant city, and we do have a more diverse police force. But as far as how she was selected, I am an executive producer, and we just went with the best actor for the role. And she was so strong in the audition. She had such great chemistry with Ramon. Erica Christensen has great chemistry with everybody. She's just a lovely person. But they all gelled together. And so did Sonia, who plays Amanda. I mean, they immediately had this chemistry that really worked on screen, and it works in their personal lives too. They're just nice people.
Now, it is a very serious police drama, crime drama, but it also can be quite comedic at times. Was that something that ambushed you?
No, you know, there's a lot of humor in my books. There's humor in We Are All Guilty Here, my new one. I think it's very important when you talk about dark things to also talk about the light things. And, you know, I have a very peculiar sense of humor that I'm able to capture in the books. So I love the lighter side of the Will Trent TV show. And I think the casting of Betty is perfect. I mean, she's just an amazing kind of lightness to Will that I write about in the books.
Indeed. And I mean, that Betty provides a lot of the comedy along the way. Now,
yes.
I'm wondering, given that, how many books are in Will so far? 12, is it?
Yes.
So, and I presume after this one, you might return to Will, or is that second guessing?
No, I absolutely will. The next one is going to be the second in the Northfall series. But after that, I'll definitely be back to Will and Sarah. I don't think I could stay away. I love the characters too much.
So I'm just wondering whether or not your writing of the next Will Trent book will be actually influenced by what has evolved on telly.
You know, I've tried to keep it very separate. And one of the great things about Ramon looking so different from the Will I write about is it helps me keep that mental wall between the television show and the books. And that's something that actually I ran into when I was writing the follow-up novel to Pieces of Her, because Toni Collette was in that Netflix series. And when I was writing Girl Forgotten, I just sort of had to drop the character of Laura as an important character in the follow-up, because Toni was so ingrained in my head as the character, but the character that she had in the television show was very different from the one in the book. So, you know, I just had to separate myself off. So the fact that the show is very different in tone, the Will Trent show, is also very helpful to me, because it helps me maintain what I want to do in the book.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how many more series, and it's only the television gods can make that decision, how many times they renew and renew. But the last time we were talking about Will Trent, I mean, Will was solving a problem up in the mountains virtually on, I think he was on his honeymoon.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, he does get married. And for those who are not, who are coming to it from television rather than from literature, you know, they will be wondering, do we have to wait till series 24 for Will to tie the knot?
Well, maybe. You know, he has a very complicated relationship with Angie in the show, but I would remind people who've read the books that it took a little while for Sarah to come into Will's world. So I would say, let's be a little patient and let Will work out his demons with Angie before he's ready for Sarah.
I suppose we shouldn't conclude without talking about the America you're currently living in and how happy or unhappy you are.
I don't think anybody's very happy in America right now, no matter what their politics are. I'm more worried about women and young girls and the erosion of rights that we're seeing, not just in America, but worldwide. You know, there are countries where women can't even talk in public anymore. As an American, I'm particularly concerned that my rights as a woman change depending on what state I'm in. That's not the country I grew up in. It's certainly not the country that I would want my nieces to live in or my nephews. So, you know, I think that if we look back at the arc of history, it bends toward justice, to borrow from Martin Luther King Jr. And I hope that soon that arc will go toward justice.
Yeah, you know, I would have believed, you know, we can never go back. You know, what has been achieved in terms of the societal milestones will never be reversed. And it's kind of, it leads to a bit of despondency on my part, I have to say. You know, I didn't think I'd ever see another war in Europe. And now, of course, we've got the invasion of Ukraine and all of that. And I never thought I'd see the erosion of women's rights, not just in the United States, but elsewhere. And it is pretty depressing.
It is, but it's good that we have books to read where we can create worlds in our brains where things are a little more fair. And I happen to love my country. I think that America has a lot of promise. And if I look back at history, I know that we've been here before and we managed to pull ourselves back from the brink. And I would hope that would happen again. I too worry about a world war. But, you know, hopefully cooler heads will prevail.
Well, we will conclude with the quotation you have at the very beginning of your book from Orson Welles. If you want a happy ending, that depends, of course, on where you stop your story. So let's not stop our story here, Karen.
Exactly. I agree.
The book is called We Are All Guilty Here. It's published by HarperCollins. It's an absolutely brilliant read. And Karen Slaughter, its author. Karen, thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.